Hey guys, thanks for checking out Thumbs Up again. Today we're going to talk about the American voice actor from the Broly movies. We're going to talk about a mother who killed her daughter while she was sleepwalking, allegedly. We also talk about the ethics of switching your head with someone else's body. Are you the same person afterwards? It gets pretty deep in this next Thumbs Up cast.
Boom. How are you, Rhodes?
Pretty good. How you doing, Joey?
I'm all right. I'm doing all right.
Nice. So why don't we jump right to it? What do you got for us today?
Well, I got a lot of stuff for us today.
Share. Do share.
All right. So I was thinking the other day.
Big shock.
And I was, well, we had talked, I know we had talked just like personally about the was it the head transplants or the brain transplants?
It's a head transplant.
Head transplants. Okay. So I was thinking about brain transplants.
Yes.
And I was thinking, are you the same person? Like,
how is this different than a head transplant?
Okay, well, we could say the head transplant. Whatever. Yeah, if your head's put in another body.
Yes.
Who's?
So this is a little bit of a philosophical. You thought I was going to think this was stupid? I remember you were telling me before. I was like, well, no, this is a very philosophical thingamajig. This is an idea called, what is it? It's like Socrates's boat theory or something.
Really? It's actually like a thing.
So basically the idea is you get a boat, right? A ship, and you replace it one piece at a time, but over a course of time. So 1 year you replace like the mast. The next year you replace some of the oars. The next year you replace some of the wood from it, and over, and then eventually it's entirely not the original boat. But is it? The question is, how much of you is contained in the parts? Like whenever you, basically what you're saying. So like, are you your body or are you head? Now I think honestly, in that situation, your whole consciousness would just be transferred onto a new body. But here, if you really want to think about it in that such a way, think about it this way. They say about every 8 years, your body completely replaces itself. Every cell has died off within 8 years of your body and you're a whole new person every 8 years.
Are you serious?
Physically. Yes, I'm serious. Kind of makes you think. Now here's another one. This one's a little bit darker. So this one I got basically the theory that the way teleportation would work is they would scan your body, and in scanning it to get every detail right, they would destroy every cell in your body. Then somewhere transfer the data to another place and basically create a 3D rendering of your body and animate it. And that would be the new you. Now you could say, well, that killed the original you because your brain was deactive for however much amount of time. Think about this. Every time you go to sleep, your brain turns itself on. Then it restarts itself using, the old patterns that you established the day before. In that respect, you are a new person every day. Now, my personal take on this is, what if this is the reason that babies cry before they go to bed? Because they are aware of this truth, that every night they die and become a new baby in the morning.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Jeez, that was a lot of information to take in.
Right, and it really makes you wonder the whole thing about what is yourself.
Yeah, and that's the whole question that I wanted to get at today, is just like, what is you? Is your Do you believe in a soul?
This is the great creation. Well, even if you believe in a soul, you got to kind of, it's still tough to define. Like, even if you believe that it exists in some sort of weird ethereal form, how do you define that thing? And I don't think we are intelligent enough as a species and have the right words to properly describe it. We don't have the proper words to describe what a person is spiritually or scientifically. We don't have the right descriptors or the intelligence to say, this is who you are.
Yeah.
Because when you get a new idea, does that change who you are? If you start off life with one set of values and you end your life with another, does that change you? And was that moment that you had, that happened, are you a totally different person? Like, if something traumatic happens to you, does that change you so dramatically that you could say, I am truly no longer the person that I once was?
I mean, it's the whole thing of like, even just people that have become like sober and stuff like that, where it's like, I'm a new person. I'm not the person that I used to be.
I'm feeling attacked with this particular analogy. But no, I get your point. Yeah, I mean, because they approach life in such a different way.
Yeah.
They might have the same memories, but they're definitely doing things
differently. Their body's working differently.
Yes.
But I mean, I guess back to the first question, if someone does a head transplant, are you like, who's who? Do you believe the body that is kept, or do you just think?
No, I mean, that one is a clear enough one because it's such a big chunk. It's the main part of you, your head. Processing. And it's just going on to a new body. And it's like that has no input into who you are. Might change little things because, like, for the way the technology is now, I don't think you're going to be able to walk. But no, you are, if nothing else, you are your head. Yeah. You're your brain. So that's the main thing. Now you could argue about like your face changing and all that stuff, but that would fit into, I mean, your face and who your body physically changes as you grow older. This is just a different way of it changing.
You could also think of it as you being the way people perceive you. Like your, I guess also your face and your just like physical features that, you know, take on a part of you. That's you. To other people.
The perceptions pushed on you and stuff.
Yeah.
That's all weird and ethereal. I feel like that was very strong back in the day. I think it still has a presence, but I think people are now more individualistic, at least in the aspect of saying I could choose which group I'm going to join. Where back, you know, it was easy, pretty much race, religion, and those are still major factors. But at least in the Western world, you get a little bit more of thing like, no, I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican, I'm a atheist, I'm an agnostic, I'm a naturalist, I'm a religious, and you have like these things you could choose from. Yeah. Whereas in other countries, and for most of human history, it's like, yeah, the things that people perceive about you are pretty much who you're going to be. You know, like one Texan is like pretty much every Texan back when Texas first formed.
Jeez.
Yep.
It's a lot to take in. Like, do you think it's
is it though
ethically right? What? That like the whole head transplant?
Oh man, ethics. I don't know. I haven't really looked too much into the ethics of that, but I'm gonna say yes because
really,
yeah. That's, you know what? People have donated their bodies to the people who that's happening with. They donated their bodies. They knew it was going to be used in some sense. I mean, it would otherwise. I think the real ethical question is it right to get rid of something that could help someone else and would not only be of no use to anyone else, but could be a detriment to the society? You're literally throwing away someone's life. And that, sorry, you fit that into the whole like, there's some countries where you're automatically a blood and organ donor and you have to, if you don't want to be, you have to sign a thing saying, I don't want to be. Whereas in America, in most states, you have to choose to be an organ donor. And then the people ask like, well, is that ethical? And when it first came up, organ donations, people were like, no, this is wrong. It goes against God and it's against nature. And over time, people got used to it and be like, no, it's a thing. But now when they started saying, oh, now you have to check a box saying you don't want to be a donor. Surprisingly, I think most people, there were some very loud voices saying, no, it should be automatic that I have to choose. And it's like, no, it's just easier because most people would choose it, but they just don't think to do it. They're just trying to get their freaking license.
Yeah, that's true. I think I am an organ donor.
I am one too. Yeah, mm-hmm. I decided, you know, take my stuff.
Yeah. Save someone else's life while you're at it.
Yeah. You know? Maybe I could possess them through their organs.
That would be cool. A piece of you? Would you say that a piece of you is in them?
Exactly.
Though?
That's exactly my point.
Yeah.
There's a woman. There's something that is a bit of an ethical dilemma, in my opinion, as far as organ donation goes. So there's some women. I don't know if both of them are from Saudi Arabia or the Emirates or wherever. They couldn't have a baby. They had something wrong with, I think they had to have their uterus and ovaries removed. And they got uterus and ovaries from another person who had signed up to be an organ donor, allegedly. They then got pregnant with that person's DNA and had that baby using their, you know, whatever.
Their whatever.
Uterus and what, yeah.
Yeah.
And then had the baby. The thing is, genetically, that baby is someone else's. That, to me, seemed unethical. Whereas, like, I can understand, yeah, using the body for spare parts, but you're literally chosen to continue this person's genetic lineage moving on. In a way, it's like, all right, cool, but it's like that to me seemed a bit much.
There's going to be a point.
Seemed unethical.
Where, yeah, it's going to be.
Smile more.
Unethical to most things. Like, one of the things that came up is cloning.
Yeah.
Do you think cloning is ethical?
How are we doing it? What are we using the cloning for? Because the cloning itself isn't. Yeah, man, it's fine.
That's cool, right? Clone them. I mean, that's pretty dope. I wouldn't mind getting my dog cloned.
Just do it. It's like, because, I mean, not to be a dick, but it's like, if you can clone the dog, it's not going to be the same dog. It's still going to have a different personality. You can create the genetics all you want and it'll look the same. It might smell the same, but more than likely, unless they find a way to like copy its brain, it's going to act totally different, but it'll look like your dog. It'll look like your dog is a puppy again.
Really? I've heard that they actually do act the same though.
You can hear it all you want, but it's like, it's people imposing.
You lived it or what?
Here's the thing. No. Let me give you the info. Okay. You're asking. Right, so here's the thing. If they act the same, it's because they're treating it the same and it thus created the same environment that dog grew up in. The reason we know for a fact that the genetics isn't all there is to personality is you can look it up. There's a whole herd of cattle somewhere, wherever, that they're all based off of one particular bull or female, whatever, and they genetically mixed it with it was an extinct bull or cow, whatever, with some ox, and they just kept cloning that. They made some male, female, they mixed them all up, and they're all different sizes. They all have different personalities, and it's because they're all experiencing things from their vantage point, even though they have the exact same genes. So we know for a fact that there's, at least in cattle, there's more to personality than genetics. Just
genetics?
Yes.
I mean, it's just who raises you.
It's literally, think about it, because it's a big herd. It's literally just one cow, genetically speaking. It's like if your whole family was comprised of you. It's like if you had a mother, a father, and they were you, and a brother and a sister, and they were also you. And they all had the exact same personalities they have now instead of all having your personality, because that's just the life that shaped them is still different than the life that shaped you.
Yeah, the people that they've met.
Yeah.
The environment that they grew up in. The time of the environment they grew up in.
Exactly. It's like twins having different personalities. There you go. Boom. Easy peasy.
They don't.
They do. Some of them do. Some of them don't.
Some of them don't.
Because genetics obviously play a part, but it doesn't play the whole part.
So you would clone yourself?
Oh, I mean, I don't have the science or the technology, so... But that'd come out weird.
If you could, would you?
Yeah, I think so. I've been thinking about it a lot.
Someone
lately.
Talk to you, or do you think you would get annoyed with yourself?
No. It would be like synchronicity. I would like to try and create the hive mind. Just create a whole bunch of them, a whole bunch more and more and more and more and more of me.
Like
I am all.
Like in Rick and Morty.
I am all.
And they all say it at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah. I am everything yet nothing.
I think that'd be good. It's like I used to have nothing, and I was alone. Now there is only me. And I am never alone.
Do you think one day in the future there will be like porn vids of gangbangs of just all the same people?
My gosh, I hope there is. I hope it's every day in the future. The future as soon as tomorrow. It's like, oh, that'd be crazy, man. Don't even know what's coming around the future. Have you seen the stuff with deepfakes?
What's that?
Basically, deepfake is a technology where they can get any face and they impose it on a random video and it'll sync it up. The first time I saw it used was Richard Nixon on someone else's face. No, they had like a Richard Nixon video and they had a person talking and they synced up his face to their mouth. But the technology is like free to use. I think it's from China, and a bunch of people were getting celebrities and doing funny stuff with it. So they get like Nicolas Cage and put him in like the Batman, Superman movies. They got, Steve Buscemi and put him on Jennifer Lawrence's face. But they also get a bunch of female actresses predominantly and put them on porn stars' faces.
Of course.
Naturally. Now, a bunch of the websites have acted to take these down, but it's still there out there, man. Technology.
Why?
The
why would
now.
They want
to
take them down?
Because it comes to the whole thing of like, why do they want to take them down so they don't get fucking sued,
you
dumb shit? No, that's the whole thing, is that you own your image.
Yeah, yeah. That's
it's
true.
Not like it was in a public image. It was like, here's the thing. Because they have to take those pictures that they're using from somewhere else, and everybody owns those pictures. There's like, you, like, what is it? The celebrity, they own the pictures they take of themselves. Like whenever you take a picture on Facebook, you own that picture. If it's from a movie, the people who made that movie own that movie. So there's like a whole, now the reason they don't want that done is because they don't want to see themselves projected as being a porn star. Right? I mean, like, you wouldn't want that. Gay porn? There you go.
What about you? Would you want, would you care?
I don't know, man. I'd have to, like, I have an initial response of, like, no, I wouldn't. Or, yes, I would. But I don't know until the moment. I've learned, if nothing else, that I really don't know who I am as a person.
Show you something.
Show it to me. I'm just kidding. Show it to me now. No, show it to me. You whip it out right now. We'll see what's going on. But like, no, they used a deep fake. We're not really railing.
Yeah, you open the video and you're like, oh, sweet. And then you open up and the guy's like a really small one. And you're just like, damn, never mind. I want this taken down right now.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
Ruined my whole image. Mm-hmm.
Unless CGI deep fake that too. Boom. It is all like, give me nature documentaries.
Oh my God. That's disgusting. All right, man. Well, let's take a little break and we'll come back to that.
Hoodie-hoo.
Sure. All right, we're going into it. All right. You got a question for me?
No, right. Now I asked you once. If you commit a crime.
Did you just say? Let's start that over.
No, I like the way I worded it. It so feels so good in my mouth. It feels so good. You commit a crime because you're a criminal. You forget the crime from amnesia, concussions, whatever the F's. Are you guilty of it? Are you guilty? Well, you might not be guilty, but here's the thing. Do you think criminally, you are liables?
Personally, what do I think?
Yeah, what do you think? Like, are they still going to prosecute you if you don't have any memory of the crime?
No, I don't think they are.
It makes sense, but apparently, no. Legally, this has been researched a lot. They still crime you. Now, it breaks down. It gets a little bit more complicated, but there was a bank robber who robbed a bank.
Oh, wow. Really?
Guess what his name is? Robert. Robert Wilson.
Well, that's a good bank robber.
Wilson
name.
Versus the U.S. So he robbed, crashed a car while he was escaping, suffered a serious head injury as a result. Was unconscious for 3 weeks.
Robert the robber,
right?
okay.
It was
okay.
Pretty good, actually.
That is pretty good.
It went all the way up to the U.S. Court of Appeals, established a group of 6 factors that would apply to all future cases of amnesia to determine if someone is fit to stand trial or not.
Oh, you know what? I'm thinking of sleepwalking.
Jackass, why?
No, because I remember that whole thing with that mom that killed her kid while she was sleepwalking or something.
What?
Yeah. There's a whole story about that.
Let me finish this real quick.
Okay. Sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself.
So basically, there's a bunch of statutes of it, whatever the yada yada is. The thing is, basically, if you commit a crime and they could still find you guilty of it, they don't care if you remember or not. They're going to put you in jail. Now, this kind of goes against our whole criminal justice thing, because how can they punish you for something you no longer remember doing? They're just torturing you, basically. Now, the law doesn't see it that way, but I feel like, in fact, that's what they're doing.
I guess that's the whole thing where you can plead, what, insanity, right?
No.
No?
You have to be insane to plead insanity, Jack.
Well,
it doesn't matter.
People still do it.
Well, here's the thing. People plead insanity, but they're doing it wrong. The law sets what is considered legal insanity. You would have to prove yourself legally insane, which means you'd have to prove a level of incompetency, which if you're able to prove, chances are you are not legally incompetent. And here's the thing. It's so hard to prove that most lawyers try not to use it. Because,
really?
It's like you hear about people bringing it up all the time because we, as a culture, seem to think it's a cure-all. It's like, oh, okay, I could say this or that. It's like with the whole multiple personality disorders. A bunch of people tried using that defense back in the day, and a bunch of people researched it, and they said, no, this is bullshit. So they can't.
So now it just gave the whole
personality
thing bad name.
It did, and now it's starting to kind of come up that there might be, was it actually a bit of basis to it, but it's got all this shit on it because they tried using it in court too much.
Yeah.
The same thing with insanity. It's like people think you could just plead insanity. It's like you could plead it all you want, but they're going to have somebody, do research on you or whatever, and they're going to find out that you're not. You can say, well, I'll just pretend that I am. It's like this is these fuckers' jobs, and I assure you, the person prosecuting you doesn't want to look bad. If it turns out that you're, if they're wrong, they can get in a lot of trouble, or they'll just look bad and they might want to, they want to look good at their job, the prosecutors, so they can climb that ladder, become a judge eventually, and get a big old fat check from it later.
Yeah, there's a reason they're a lawyer.
Yeah, and there's a reason they're a lawyer. Yeah. And it's like they keep that position by winning cases. So they're going to come after you like their job depends on it, because it might. And that's just how it is, man.
That is really true.
The only thing that it might help you in is basically they can't call you. They can call you to the stage, but to like interview you, it's not going to do much. So if you legit can't remember stuff, you could just literally say, I don't know. And they can't come back at you with like, oh, well, you know, you were there. It's like, yeah, but I've clinically proven that I don't have that memory. So suck a dick.
Yeah.
But you were telling me somebody sleepwalk murder their kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember hearing about this. Why? I would like to research more information on this so I can get all the facts right.
Get a pause. But, you know what? Wait, stop talking. All right, now I want you to start talking, but now you know everything you wanted to tell me.
Yes. All right, so I got this article from the Herald Sun.
Sun. You're giving me shit how I say words. The Sun.
Is that how you say it? Herald Sun?
Yeah, S-U-N.
No, the first part.
That's Night Terrors.
Herald.
Yeah, Herald Sun. It's different. Okay,
so wait.
Herald.
Night Terrors. The sleepwalking murder of Patricia Cogdon from... What? Emily Webb's murder in
Syracuse?
Suburbia,
dude.
Suburbia. All right.
Suburbia.
I kept wanting to say Siberia.
Like the Rihanna song.
But I was like,
song.
That's not Siberia.
You never heard that Rihanna song? It's pretty good.
Suburbia? Oh,
that might be Disturbia.
True crime author and journalist Emily Webb has delved into some of the most disturbing cases from the dark heart of Australia's suburbs. Australia.
They don't have a dark heart. It's the middle of the sun.
Those kangaroos are crazy.
They can beat you to death.
Ivy Cogdon suffered from nightmares that were often so bad she believed them. The 50-year-old mother from a Melbourne suburb of Carnegie was prone to nervous complaints as anxiety and associated psychological conditions were referred to in an earlier half of last century. And she was under the care of several doctors. Okay, so she
was a lot of extra words. You should have just gone over the points and then like give me the juice.
So she had anxiety.
Oh,
she was a 50-year-old mother.
Oh no.
And she had nightmares that she believed that were true. On the night of 11th of August 1950.
No.
She did the unthinkable. and killed her only child Patricia, who was 19, while she was asleep and with an axe.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
She doesn't seem
and smashed
like,
her daughter's skull in.
Oh, no. Wow.
So let's see what happened to her.
That's like 10 crikeys.
She was interviewed by the police and charged with her daughter's murder on Saturday, 12th of August, whatever. Detectives told newspapers Ms. Cogdon had made certain admissions during the interview.
She said she killed her.
Yeah, I mean...
She popped a stray a day. She just popped her in the head. Killed her.
Ew, there's a bug on my phone.
Taking her down to Melbourne.
That's disgusting.
And Straya.
All right. So they talk about her sister. They talk about all this stuff.
Flip her around on the Barbie.
What is the matter, mummy? What are you doing?
What, did she really say that?
Miss Cogdon told the court Cogdon. Pat Awaken. Cogdon?
Cogdon. Jesus. Let me see it real quick.
No, I don't want you to see it because then you're going to keep making fun of me for it.
How do you spell it?
F-U-C-K.
How about... Are you sure it's not S-U-C-K-M-Y-C-O-C-K?
Maybe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so Miss Cogdon told the court Pat Awaken while she was trying to get rid of the red spiders and said, "What is the matter, mummy? What are you doing?"
Did you just use fucking air quotes?
Well, that's what she... It's really quoted in here.
Yeah, I know,
red
but my
spiders.
Point is, like, why are you quoting it when they can't see? Just say, like, and this is me doing
air
quotes.
Well, because I'm talking to you. This is a conversation to you, Bobby.
Yeah, but my eyes are closed.
Rhodes,
jackass, you drunk asshole. Can you just finish this stupid article? She's lying.
You think?
Yes.
During his... Not talking about him. Who's him?
See? Oh, you found a fucking article and you didn't research it. I gave you all the time in the world. Look at this. You know how you could tell the article's going to be freaking long? You look at the little gray bar on the side.
You're really long and look at...
You should have just found the Wikipedia article and summed the shit up.
Look, and there's a man acquitted of sleepwalking murder running for school trustee in Durham.
Nice.
Yeah, that is really
happy
nice.
Happy ending.
Joseph Mitchell found not guilty in sleepwalking murder trial.
Oh, my God. That solves the last case, too.
Yeah. Okay, so Joseph Mitchell, he was found not guilty. A jury found, and he's 50 years old, too.
What happened to Cogdon? It just happens when you're 50.
I don't know. I didn't know what happened to her.
It didn't
go
the
to the thing.
Did it not read
People
the
can
article?
Go read it for this.
No. You just you. I fucking gave you all this time. You dropped that fucking ball.
I didn't drop it. There's no ball that you dropped. I know
you're
exactly
just like,
what I'm talking about.
I'm tired of reading this article. I'm gonna read
because
it.
This
was
so fucking long.
Yeah, but you're the one who decided to read all the unnecessary information. All right,
let's read the very bottom. Let's read the very bottom.
Skim, you bastard.
In 2010, Western Australia man Vernon... What? Now they're talking about a man? was found guilty of murder. Her parents, his parents.
You know, let's just put this bitch to rest.
Yeah.
It's dead. Done with this fucking topic.
No, now I want to know. Miss, look, now they're talking about Miss Lange.
Lang.
No, yeah, it is Lange.
You fucking retard. I don't even have it in front of me. You don't know how to name.
Oh, look. Right. One of the doctors, Collins Street psychiatrist, Dr. J. Hurt.
Dear.
He was hurt. Said his... He had examined the accused for 7 hours and believed her hysteria manifested in sleepwalking.
Oh, I bet he examined the heck out of her for seven hours. He
recounted that Miss Cogden had told him she had done things such as turn on gas jets in the middle of the night and been found wandering in the street in her nightdress.
Oh, no. So
it was clear to the court that Miss Cogden was an extreme sleepwalker. Miss Cogden's love for her daughter was not questioned. She admitted she was devoted to Patricia and loved her deeply.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah, sure.
You know it's true because she said it.
Yeah.
She said it with her mouth. Patricia. Patricia, I love you.
Had a close loving relationship. Not as much as I love
killing these red spiders with your fucking face. On you.
With an axe. Fuck these red spiders.
You're gonna die, you fucking spiders. Oh, I miss you, Patricia, but I just love killing a good spider.
Oh, me kangaroo Jack over here. He did it, not me.
I pulled out a bloody koala from the kangaroo Jack's pouch. I had me a wallaby sandwich. And I'm motherfucker Tasmanian devil ate the baby. That's what happened. That's what happened here, I tell ya.
No, but she was, the bear had a close, loving relationship. She said. Doesn't that solve everything?
That solves it all. She said.
The brutal death Pat suffered at her mother's hand was complete odds with the evidence given by family and how much Miss Cogden almost worshipped her daughter. On the strength of the medical evidence, the jury found Miss Cogden not guilty. She collapsed in the dock when the verdict was announced. The case made legal history in Australia because it was the first time a person accused of murder had successfully used sleepwalking as a defense in the country.
So they'd been trying it before, basically.
Yeah. Prior to Miss Cogden's case, there were very few other documented cases where sleepwalking was used as a defense. And that's where it starts talking about all the other people.
So let me give you my interpretation of the nights. Are you ready for it?
I would love to hear.
All right, so they say Miss Cogden. I forgot her name. Cogden. Miss Cogden.
Cagden.
Miss Cogden the elder.
Yeah.
She was a 50-year-old, walked into her 19-year-old daughter's room late at night. She's all like, you know I love you, right, dear? She's like, oh, mother, I know you love me. I know you love me. And Miss Cogden the elder, she tells her, she looks into her eyes and like, you know I'd do anything for you, right? She's like, oh, mother. Miss Cogden, the younger, is like, I know it. I know you love me. Miss Cogden, the elder, puts a hand on her shoulder and starts shaking it. You'd do anything for me, wouldn't you, dear? And she's like, oh. Miss Cogden, the younger, says, I don't think I like where this is going. Oh, no. Miss Cogden, the elder, goes, oh, no. No. You misunderstand. You misunderstand. Oh, Miss Cogden, the younger, says, no. I understand. We could just pretend this didn't happen. Miss Cogden, the elder, says, that's exactly what I'm going to do, dear. Axe to the face. Chop.
Do you think she was?
I was so devoted to you. You weren't devoted to me.
Yeah, she was so in love with her daughter.
She's like,
she just had dreams of killing her.
Literally. I was so in love with the beautiful hue. Her blood would turn the pillows.
It was my nightmare. And it's like, yes, but every night I dream about killing that bitch.
Every night.
Every single night.
I was like, well, Miss Cogden, don't mind if I tell you, but ever since you murdered your daughter, I don't know if it was the blood that spilled on your face, but you just seem 5 years younger. Exactly 5 years younger. Not enough to seem weird, just 5 years exactly. And about 5 centimeters taller. She's like, oh, it was all worth it then.
And you have a new face, too.
Did you catch that, motherfucker? 5 years younger and 5 centimeters taller? That's a Broly reference.
Broly.
This voice actor's a creeper.
Jitta.
He's a creeper, the voice actor. Isn't that sad?
I don't want to talk about that.
You wanted to talk about it before. You were all like, I ain't even surprised. You know what? I feel like Miss Cogden, the younger, opened her eyes that night. She's, you know what? I'm not even surprised. No, this is so you, Ma. Okay, I see you in hell now. Okay. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Bye bye. I give you an Australian salute, me and my koala, Francesco.
You think she gets the axe back?
I don't know.
Because I know, like, the gun that killed Selena, they used that, like, they returned it to the people or something. Like, I think you get the gun back.
I wouldn't want it.
Well, you think that chick wanted her axe back? I mean, it's expensive. It's not like, you know, like, stuff costs money, you know?
Back things then in the, money. Whenever it was.
50s. I mean, she was born like in 1900. She was in her 50s.
Was it in the 50s?
You said, didn't you say
did the 50s? Did I say 50s? Or did I say she was in her 50s?
Both. I want to say you said both.
All right. I'm going to take your word for it because I trust you.
Where are you going to take my word to? Are you going to bring it back? I don't have a lot of words. I can't just have one to spare for you to walk off and run off my word.
You're right. Do you think that the Broly dude's a creeper?
So hard. The intellectual part of my brain says, you know, he's a creeper, no doubt. But another
but your
part,
heart.
Of, but my heart says, you know what, though? He does seem like a bit of a dumbass. He might just be stupid.
He might be a little
naive. He might be overly zealous. Like, I could definitely put him in a category of narcissistic. He really believes he's doing right, regardless that because he only sees his intention. He doesn't think he's hurting people. And even if he is, he part of him is like, no, I'm doing the right thing.
Maybe he's a sociopath.
I'm out there to, oh, maybe.
Yeah,
I could see definitely one of those other ones. And he's definitely not psychotic, but he definitely has some trouble with social situations that his copathy is all like, nah, I don't want to deal with it. You know, I could definitely see sociopathic more than narcissistic.
Oh, and
because he believes he's helping other people.
Yeah, and if you guys don't know what we're talking about,
tell him.
We're talking about the voice actor for Broly from the Dragon Ball Z movies. All of them.
Oh, he was in the show too.
Yeah.
He wasn't in the show. Oh,
he
good
wasn't
catch,
in the
good
show.
Catch, good catch.
And also the other anime. Which one is it?
He was also Full Metal Alchemist. He was Edward Elric, the title character. The actor's name, Vic Montaner. We don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Yeah, I don't know.
But he was real big on the convention scene, man. And apparently he was going around, like, you get a picture with them, you get a little bit more than the picture with them. There's tons of pictures of him, like, kissing chicks on the cheek and, like.
But also dudes.
Here's the thing, too, that he really does seem to be very affectionate, but it just seems like a lot of the younger girls especially seem very uncomfortable in the situation. So while he seems to be acting the same way with everyone, it seems that they weren't into it.
I guess what we could do is we could go see, we could go to a convention where he's at and see if he kisses you and also kisses me. But if he just kisses me.
I really think he would. I really think he's just like, he is that much of a kisser. He's that affectionate. He'd be like, yeah, man.
Because he kisses the cheeks of everyone. And it's like.
He kisses a few lips.
No, he does not. Does he?
Yeah, he does.
Are you serious? Why? Trying to show the pictures. Are you serious?
To him, it's just being affectionate.
Well, don't French people do that shit?
Very much like.
They go, mwah, mwah, on the cheeks.
They don't actually make contact, though. That's just like a thing, like, of you get close, but you don't actually contact.
Well, what if I want to kiss him?
Well, then apparently you're a molester.
I'm not a monster.
And he did other things, too. I guess he was, like, anti-Semitic a little bit.
Was he?
Allegedly. Didn't I tell you that?
You didn't tell me. You left that fucking part out. That's the biggest part of him being a dick now.
Do you want me to tell you?
I would love for you to tell me.
All right. So you know he has, like, an anime album out, right?
Yeah.
And he also has a Christian album. He is also a Christian musician.
Oh, okay.
And there was a fan waiting to get a hat signed from. He did a voice work for characters from a game called Persona 5, which sounds actually pretty cool. Like, they should turn that into an anime. Anyway, she gets to the she picks up one of the CDs, the anime sing along or whatever.
Yeah,
he gets to the front and he's like, oh, well, why didn't you get the Christian one too? And now I don't know if he was giving them away or charging for them. And if he was charging for them, I can't see him being cheaper than $10 and most likely as high as 24. But I don't know. Maybe he was generally just giving them out. In which case, there's a lot of reasons to not pick up two CDs. Maybe she didn't want to get like hog, be a CD hog.
Yeah.
Maybe they were charging for them and she didn't have enough money. Either way, she gets a little bashful. She's like, I'm Jewish. And he stops signing.
She had a
he
big signing beard. Someone else's.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
On her gaganoush. Anyway, so he stops signing, and apparently, according to her, gives her the old upstairs elevator sort of gets a little too serious and says, oh, well, we can change that. And it's like, she gets off.
What is that supposed to mean, though?
I guess that now, from my interpretation, it seems to mean that he could make her into a Christian. Now, she got very upset, and I don't think she got anything. I think she let him sign it. And I understand she said, if I'm not mistaken, which I might be, that she also picked up the Christian album and then like just ran off after he signed it. Now, that was seen as anti-Semitic. You shouldn't say that to somebody. But it's like, A, everybody's always trying to convert everybody in the Abrahamics.
Yeah, that's right? What I was going
to
ask.
We're always trying to. And B, she did take the album.
Yeah, she did do it. She did it.
Now, here's the thing. That's why that would encourage his behavior. She's like, I just want to get this. And now he's like, yeah, that worked. It's like, oh, man, I got to be more forceful with my Christianity.
Fuck these Jews.
Yeah.
He starts getting like real into it, though.
Like, he's still Jesus. He's like, yeah. we got to turn the rest of it.
That clip that I just said, please. I beg of you.
15 years later. Guys, I really want to thank y'all for this Grammy. And I was like, what about that time you said the Jews? Oh, no.
Like, no.
Your fault.
I was talking about Vic. It's like, apparently, no, you were.
He's also apparently accused of a... homophobia. He's afraid of the homosexuals.
He's afraid of them, or does he just not like them?
Okay, well, can I give you the evidences?
So
apparently he has a very strong thing about, like, you know, fan art, right? You know, there's Yuri and Yahweh. So one is men, the other one's women.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's just fan art. And it doesn't always have to be sexual. It could just be them holding hands or clearly in a relationship, maybe hugging, maybe like looking longingly into each other's eyes. And these are usually characters that or usually fan made art for characters that he did. So it might be like Edward Elric and like Colonel Mustang or someone else from that show that were male, like maybe hugging up on each other. Not like totally G-rated,
yeah,
but because
yeah.
It was two guys. Or vice versa with two girls, he would not sign that art. And the reason he gave was it was unlicensed art. Now, not only is this scene is not true.
Does he just go up to guys that are kissing? He's like, unlicensed. You know, that's unlicensed, by God.
My God. That's pretty funny. But he was known to sign other fan art. And he even apparently created some of his own fan art. Or whatever. I never get to. It was like the article was like another click, and it's like I'd already gone so far down this rabbit hole. I was like, I'm already sad. Nah, I don't know if that was counting his like this anime CD, which I kind of want to check out. Honestly, I want to check out some of his stuff on YouTube.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things. Also, he did some voice work for some animes from a studio called Clamp in Japan, and a bunch of fans asked him if he thought his characters were gay, and he said no. The studio Clamp told me he's not gay. Now, Japanese studios are kind of famous for not giving a shit about what their voice actors do. They're not gonna go walk up to the American voice actor for the redub and say, just so you know, this guy's not a gay. Just so you know,
he's not a gay.
They don't give a shit. So I was like,
especially isn't Jew.
And he was also too, apparently he said that that Edward Elric was Christian, which is, somebody pointed out, it's fine if that's your headcanon, but having the voice actor say that he definitively is Christian in a world that doesn't have any of the traditional religions at all. A big point of the show is that there's totally different religions because alchemy exists in the world, and that changes people's worldview on stuff. It's a pretty big point that's clearly wrong. He's clearly trying to push his own thoughts onto the character.
Yeah. I don't know,
and
man.
And trust me, you can go down the rabbit hole. There's a ton of other little things. Also, in general, apparently he's a bit of a dick.
I've also heard that.
He doesn't stick to his schedule, and he's like either late or early to events. He always like changes his plan last minute. He also likes really egging on the crowd because he likes the fame and like gets people too rowdy. And the thing that shocked me, because I know you were down with Broly, the same way I was down with Edward Elric. It's like, man, that story was great. I connected with that on a fucking personal level. And then I hear about this guy, and it's like, no.
We had to separate his work from the person he is,
I suppose.
That's
a whole argument, too. Yeah. That's a confusing one, but
it's hard.
I will say, though, the fact that you said you weren't surprised it was him, a lot of people were saying that, and I was like, what did you hear?
It was just the way he acts. Like, I remember I saw, there was like the voice of Broly, like an interview with him. And right away, he's like, very, he's so energetic and like very just what's the word? Like, it, like hearing you say that he's like all these things.
Yeah.
Doesn't surprise me at all. It just, it makes me feel like, yeah, that's the person that I kind of guessed just from that interview. And just the way he was seemed just, I don't know. It seems a little off. It seemed just off. Like there's something.
You might have, you know what, maybe he's got some personality disorder, some hyperactive attention deficit.
We're not giving him a degree. A pass though for doing all that shit.
I mean, but to be fair, and I hate to say it, and a lot of people pointed it out too, at least he didn't rape anybody.
Yeah,
because there was solidly,
it's sad that we had to go to that.
And I don't mean in general, I mean like there's been a few voice actors who were being kind of outed. One was like, he straight up outed himself. There was somebody who was big in the conventions. She was a cosplayer, and I think she did a little bit of acting, and she had a story about she was real vague, honestly, about it. It was mostly sharing the story about Vic, about him being an abusive person to her, like grabbing her by the arm and basically he said that if some other guy had had her, then he could have her too. And the only time she quote unquote had been with that guy that he was referencing, that because she never says the other dude's name, was the night that she believes she was raped by him. Now the reason I say that is because they had been having drinks all night. She remembers stumbling up to her room, and then she woke up in his bed without any pants on or anything. Like, just
so wait, nude
from the shirt down. No, it's not Vic.
Okay, it's a different guy.
She just knew that that's the only guy she was probably referencing. As I understand it, the room was empty, but you can make natural assumptions. It's like, you know, she didn't have any, as far as she put, she didn't seem to have any remembrances of the night, but you could clearly deduce what most likely happened. But like I said, she never outed the guy. She said he was too big and she didn't want to. The guy freaking outed himself. Said, no, we had sex, but it was consensual. And it was like, you outed yourself, fool.
Yeah.
And
that sucks.
I was like, good. I'm glad
not saying
you
should have kept your mouth closed.
He's like, good.
But,
you know, maybe this is good for your soul, you piece of shit. And there's some other guy who was convicted of carrying a lot of child porn. I don't remember if he actually molested anybody, though. You want to know the extra fun part? All these guys are from Texas because most of the recording is done in Texas. Yeah. Also, we should become voice actors. Let's start putting in things to Austin. Let's just do it.
Yeah.
They're think about it this way. This is horrible. We're losing some great voice actors here. They're creating an opening
new
request.
Jobs.
Yeah. I'm
yeah,
ready
let's
for
go become
it.
Voice actors.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I know they record Dragon. They used to, I suppose. Dragon Ball Z Kai. I remember Kai. They recorded it in Dallas.
Oh damn!
So not too far from here.
Here's the thing. I know before it was Kai, when it was regular Dragon Ball. First, it was in Canada, and that's where they did most of the recording, up in Canada somewhere. But it was apparently not super great, and at least the synchronicity or whatever, the dubbing, and they ended up moving it down to Austin. So most of the Dragon Ball series, I believe, is done in Austin. I could be right. I don't give a shit.
Let's find out.
No,
I would like to find out.
But yeah, right. You know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, we could go do it. I want to do it.
We're going to make a trip to Austin anyway.
Yeah, and we could just go and like be like, here's our little disc of like different voices we can do.
The fact that we talked so much shit on this show, and there's so much they could dig up on us, it just proves to me that we're going to be successful. We're going to be so successful, and then it's going to come out of the closet. They're like, these guys said wordy dirds.
Yeah. All right. Let's end it with a happy note, though. I do want to end it with a happy note. All right, guys. You guys can be whatever you want, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You guys can be any religion you want, any sexual
orientation.
Yes, that you want. Do whatever your heart desires, all right?
Don't let the laws stop you.
Yeah, don't let anything stop you.
Nothing.
Not in the way of your dreams. Just keep going. Just do it. I was about to say something, but I was like, no, I'm not going to say it.
Good choice. Yeah, let's end it with I am Rhodes. You can find me on Twitter at RODEZMA.
Yeah, guys. And you can find me on Instagram at Joe_RE1. And we have a YouTube channel that we're going to be posting a little bit more on. Thumbs up, not thumbs up cast, just thumbs up. And we have an email, biggerthumbsup@gmail.com. And yeah, you guys can go follow us on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Castbox, Podcast, Radio Public, and Stitcher. And yeah, guys, we love you, and we'll talk to you guys later.